Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
This is a CBC Podcast.
I'm Dr. Brian Goldman. This is White Coat Black Heart. On this Thanksgiving weekend, we have a rebroadcast from October 2017. A bit of, shall we say, amazing news compelled us to play it again. The woman we featured in the show, Catherine Reeford Ledlow, just won Amazing Race Canada. It's all the more extraordinary because she has a life-limiting diagnosis. Later on, we'll have an update with Catherine you won't want to miss. But now, here once again is Catherine's story. It's about a woman who believes that a death sentence is no reason to stop living.
So we basically wander around while we're warming up her voice.
Catherine takes me behind the curtain at Rainbow Stage in Winnipeg. The 37-year-old show dancer is a member of the ensemble for the 2017 production of Mamma Mia. This is a long way from her days on Broadway in successful revivals of Oklahoma and 42nd Street. But there's a lot more to this story.
I am here talking about my brain tumor and what it means to live with a brain tumor.
There's no hiding from it, is there?
No, there's not. And I don't want to either. I want to make sure that people know that you can still live a life with this diagnosis and might be a very different life, but it's still a life worth living.
Being direct and open is also one of the ways that Catherine raises awareness about a disease that 55,000 Canadians live with every day.
In the dining room. So there it is.
Gord Downie and Arizona Senator John McCain kept coming up when I sat down with Catherine at her Winnipeg home. But as we talked, it was clear that she has her own way of defining how she'll face their common diagnosis.
There's a lot of talk about the battle metaphor, you know, in part because John McCain was a soldier, he was a prisoner of war. It seems to fit with him, but I'm finding that people either like that metaphor or they hate it. And I want to know what you think.
Some people that have brain cancer, that's a good metaphor for them. And some people, they don't like it. For me, I consider myself a warrior. I'm not a courageous. I just feel like I'm fighting against being felt sorry for. I wake up every morning and I'm ready to fight this thing that's inside my brain.
You're always a warrior.
Exactly.
Whereas the battle implies somebody
who
lost the battle.
Yeah,
like, what does that mean?
So, yeah, exactly. So being a warrior, I feel it's better than battling something. So, I mean, you battle until you die? I mean, is that what it is? No, I'm going to be a warrior until, and will always be a warrior. So I don't want to lose to anything.
Warrior and juggler. I get exhausted listing all the things Catherine does. Show dancer, dance teacher, advocate for fellow patients with brain tumors.
What's the question going to be?
I don't know what the question's going to be. First of all, what's your name?
And mother to Elliot and Quinn.
Elliot what?
Matthew Ledlow.
How old are you, Elliot?
6 years old.
Are you an only child or do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a sister.
Who's your sister?
Quinn.
So do you boss around your younger sister? Are you the boss?
Not really.
No, not really at all. Who's the boss?
Kind of Quinn.
How old are you, Quinn?
4.
Quinn is also at the focal point of her mum's diagnosis 4 years ago. After touring the U.S. in Broadway musicals, Catherine quit the business and settled in Los Angeles. There, she parlayed ahead for math into a successful career as a mortgage broker. She met and married Joel, a martial arts teacher. While pregnant with Elliot, the newly married couple settled in Oklahoma City, where Catherine went to nursing school, and Joel opened up his first martial arts dojo. After Quinn was born, Catherine developed severe headaches.
The week of my birthday, which is June 26th, my husband flew my best friend Craig out to visit me for the week. Craig is a fitness trainer. He knows me really, really well. And I'm also sort of into being fit and all that kind of stuff. So we were making a video of me with Quinn in her Bjorn. So we were doing squats. And I said to Craig, I said, you know, we have to stop. My head just hurts too much. He's like, Kate, you have to go to the doctor. And on Sunday, I was talking to my husband. I said, oh, I'm really dizzy. And he said, well, lie on the bed. And the bed was like 2 feet away from me. And instead of going to the bed to lie down, I just lay down on the ground. And he sort of got out of the shower and was like, what just happened? I said, oh, it's dizzy. I just lay down on the ground. He's like, yeah, you need to go to the doctor. So I called my midwife on Monday. And she said, you need to go to the emergency room right now. I was like, fine, I'll go. And I guess she had told them I was coming. So when I got there, they immediately took me. They did an EKG twice and it showed nothing. And they're like, well, because you had your daughter naturally, we just want to do a CT scan. You might have a small brain bleed. And I was like, okay, fine. And they were all fighting over who would hold Quinn. And it doesn't take very long. And when I came out of it, everybody's faces were really white. But it still didn't occur to me that something was wrong. And then neurosurgeons and doctors and everybody started coming in and they're like, there's a mass in your brain. We're going to have to remove it. So we need to send you for an MRI right now. And I thought it was like an AVM or something, like a small little thing that they could just go in and take out. And they showed me this picture and it was about a quarter of my brain. I called my husband and said, I have a brain tumor. You need to come right now.
And there was like 3 missed calls and a voicemail. And it was like just sinking bad feeling because she never gives three missed calls. I listened to the thing and said that they found a mass. And I call and she's crying and upset. And she said they're going to take me in, trying to get me in for an MRI. And yeah, and I said, okay, I'm on my way.
They immediately sent me down to the MRI. I just remember lying there crying and thinking, like, I don't even know what's happening. Then they brought me up. The neurosurgeon that had come up from emergency, he said, well, you'll be meeting with this amazing surgeon, Dr. Shagru. We already took your MRI to show him, and it's on your speech center, so you're going to have to be awake during your surgery. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Cool to a young woman on the cusp of becoming a nurse. But terrible news to deliver to her family, especially her mother, Diane, who was planning to fly out the very next day to meet her new granddaughter.
It is a very hard thing. I'll never forget when I walked in, having spent a day with my oldest granddaughter at the zoo, and Kath was on the line. They just handed me the phone, and I went to a quiet spot in our house on the back steps and said, hi, Kath, what? I've got a brain tumor, Mom. And I didn't know what to say. Kath being Kath started to talk to me, and I think that's probably characterizes everything that has happened since. Kath's made me feel better.
How?
Well, by telling me what's happening, as much as she knows, it helps that she had training as a nurse too, and she's just the most caring and comforting person you'd ever meet.
Diane's visit ended up lasting 9 months as she stayed on to care for Catherine and help Joel. Soon after Diane arrived, Catherine had the awake surgery.
So I made them move a screen so that I could watch the entire surgery.
And delighted in watching her craniotomy on a monitor by her bed.
Wow. You watched your own brain surgery.
Oh, I know. It was really cool. I wish everybody could do it. It was so...
Her cancer is called an anaplastic astrocytoma. The neurosurgeon removed most, but not all of it. There would be further treatment, but there would be no cure.
The doctor that I had there sort of said, you know, this you have 2 to 6 years to live, but...
That's what you were told from the outset.
Yeah. That's just the average. One of the doctors said, you could live 10 years. That's great. And I was like, no, 10 years is terrible. It's like a terrible time. But I knew that, like, he saw people with glioblastomas, which is what Gord Downie has, and what John McCain has, and they're given 12 to 18 months. So 10 years to him was a super long time. But 10 years to me is not seeing my kids graduate, not seeing them get married, not seeing my grandkids, you know? So that was a big deal to me.
And yeah. What's the connection between the astrocytoma that you have and glioblastoma?
Well, the astrocytoma will turn into a glioblastoma. They just don't know when. That's why we were very aggressive with it when I was first diagnosed. We did about 6 weeks of proton therapy, and then I had about a year of four different kinds of chemotherapy.
How successful was the surgery?
Very successful. We had... Luckily, Dr. Shagru, you've probably seen him on the news quite a few times. He does surgeries that other people say, oh, we can't do this, it's too dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And mine was in right on my speech center. So
and you speak very well.
I do now. So I've lost quite a bit of my speech, and the only person that can really tell is my husband. I say the wrong words. I get months confused. I can't do any kind of multiplication. I can't do any addition, subtraction. When I used to be amazing at math. I can't tell the difference between like the there, and there. And I used to be able to pick up dance steps immediately. And I used to memorize things immediately and like scripts and stuff I could memorize immediately. So it's frustrating in that regard, but I feel super lucky to be alive. And my whole perspective of life has completely changed.
And I guess they didn't get it all out.
They said 90%, but because it was right on my speech center, they couldn't remove that part of it. And the surgeon had sort of had told my husband that night, we got it. And then the next day, the surgeon came in to visit me, and he's like, he sort of told me like what he thought it was and that, you know, it would come back. And like, I just remember thinking that day, I was so happy that it was gone, but I was also, you know, I was frustrated that I couldn't speak. But that night I was like, okay, well, It'll be fine because it's gone. I'll just get through this. And then when he came in the next day, I just remember feeling like this sinking feeling in my heart, like that I wasn't going to be okay, and that I was going to die from this. And that just took a heavy hit on me. And I was pretty upset about it for a long time and cried a lot. And I'm crying right now. You know, I cry, but that's okay. It's good. It's good to cry.
We'll be right back.
I'm Keith MacArthur. Unlocking Bryson's Brain is a podcast about my son, the rare disease that keeps him from walking or talking.
I mean, Bryson's perfect, but his life is really hard.
And our family's search for a cure.
Oh my gosh, maybe science is ready for this.
It's part memoir, part medical mystery.
We can do just about anything.
Modifying DNA.
My heart and my throat.
Cure is controversial.
Unlocking Bryson's Brain. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to White Coat Black Heart. This week, we're rebroadcasting the story of Catherine Reeford Ledlow, a Winnipeg woman who has chosen her own unique way to live with a form of brain cancer that is often fatal. She found her footing by going back to her first love, dance.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to either be depressed and be sad and not do anything, or you just push through and you know, you just continue and you do what you're passionate about, which took me a long time to figure out because I'd not danced for 9 years. I'd run a mortgage company, became a nurse.
Exactly 1 year after her surgery, Catherine came home to Winnipeg, but this time with a family of her own. It wasn't long before she was dancing professionally again, first in Les Mis, then Mamma Mia, and in this classroom.
So, first of all, this is Brian Goldman. He flew in from Toronto to do an interview about me and my brain cancer and how I'm living my life with this thing in my head. And he's going to be here. He was at my house earlier. He's coming to Mama.
She doesn't hide her cancer from her dance family. She proclaims it to her students, their parents, her castmates, and the crew. It's right there on her Rainbow Stage bio.
Very serious form of brain cancer. You are remarkably upbeat. You lead a pretty extraordinary life even today. You're an accomplished dancer. You have been since you were young. You've been on Broadway. I want to know the role that professional dance plays, has played, is playing in your life.
It's super important to me. I So I was having a conversation with a castmate yesterday, and he was complaining about how tired he was. I said, we should really be very grateful because we are doing what we love and what we're so passionate about. And we're getting paid, even bonus, like more of a bonus. To me, that's my whole perspective. Like when I watch, when I'm listening to the show, I enjoy all of it. I enjoy hearing Ma'an, this beautiful superstar, sing her main part. I love musical theater. I love all the shows I've ever done. And I just feel super lucky to have been able to make this my career and to now be teaching it to other students
and the importance of the teaching of it.
To me, that's just spreading my love of musical theater to these students.
I asked Catherine's mother, Diane, about how busy she keeps herself.
She's busy.
She's
busier than I can manage being.
But she's always been like that. I remember her brain surgeon saying, Catherine, go live your life. So that's what she's doing. She is living her life and making the most of it. And, you know, it was kind of hard at first that she was always talking about the brain tumor. And even today, you know, when she talks about it, it's still hard. But I know that that's her way of helping other people, and that's Catherine too, because she's taught all of us to appreciate every minute of every day and to make the most of it. I mean, we all say that, but that's become more important now, just so important.
Do you ever worry about overexerting yourself?
Oh, yeah, I do. And my husband does too, because he sees, you know, when I start to slur my words or when I am super tired, I do overwhelm myself sometimes. But I feel as though if I don't, I'll get really sad.
Sad and anxious, especially at that time every 2 to 3 months when Catherine gets an MRI to see if the cancer's growing.
The first thing I think of is if you're getting an MRI every 2 to 3 months, like you're kind of going up and down that mountain, wondering what it's going to look like.
So the week between the MRI and the results, we call that the Scanxiety week.
Scanxiety.
Yeah, Scanxiety. My husband is great. He's like, this is your Scanxiety week, so I'll just touch, like, step lightly around you. And, you know, and he's very, he knows, but I also, like, I'm sorry that he has to do that because it's really not fair.
In the beginning, we didn't realize it quite as much, how anxious each of us were getting. We're a bit more tuned into it, and we're a bit more like, okay, just cut each other a bit more slack.
You seem so chill. Like, how are you able to live with this?
I think for a long time, I didn't have my way as a young man. You know, I just didn't really feel like I was on the right path until I met Catherine, and then the chips sort of fell into place. I was becoming more of who I was supposed to be. She's made me a much better person for having known her. We have a beautiful son and a beautiful daughter. They're both, you know, amazing children. And we made a decision to look at what we have and appreciate what we have every day, knowing that we are looking at the reality of a shorter time than we want. You know, seize the day or not, and we just chose the positive path. We could be positive or not.
One more look and I forget everything. Oh, Mamma Mia, here I go again.
Catherine and her castmates have finished their warm-up, half an hour until the curtain rises. I'm no dance critic, but Catherine looks like the most graceful dancer on stage. She looks totally in the moment. No brain cancer. No Scanxiety. After the performance, I gave Catherine a lift home.
This is funny.
It is funny. How do you feel when a show's over?
I'm great. This is our last show of the week, so everybody was like, yay, day off tomorrow.
As far as quality of life is concerned, would you say this is as good as it gets right now?
Yeah, I think so. I love my life, and I love my family. I love everything that I'm doing right now.
And she loves to do even more, supporting fellow cancer patients by leading a brain tumor support group and providing peer support.
I'll come with them to the doctor and I'll ask
different questions, and I'll help them read what the biopsy showed. And when I come in with these patients, all the doctors at Cancer Care know me. So they're like, oh, her again. And I'm like, yep, I'm here, and I'm going to ask you a million questions because they need to understand what you're talking about. I'll sit with like the spouses and during surgery while that person's in surgery and let them know how this person's going to feel when they come out. And I do a lot of that. Which makes me feel good. I feel good that I can help other people get through this.
How often do you find yourself doing that?
And whenever I can. Like whenever there's an opportunity to.
Speaking up and helping others facing brain cancer is now part of Catherine's routine. But finding a way to navigate her own cancer with her young kids is a work in progress.
Last time we went to see Dr. Peets, we brought Elliot with us. And we said, hey, ask him whatever questions you want. He didn't really know what questions to ask, but he was like, is that thing still growing in Mummy's head? And we said, is it still in there? And he said, yeah, it's still in there. And I think that he felt better about that because he's always worried when we go in there. They say, is that thing going to kill Mom? And you know, I was like, yeah, it's going to kill me, but I don't know when. And he says, well, is it going to kill you sooner than Daddy? And yeah, probably. I said,
really?
Yeah. And then he goes, but everybody dies. And I said, yeah, you're right, bud. Everybody does die. He said, yeah, everybody dies. It's okay. And Quinn's like, yeah, everybody dies. She turns it into a song. I don't know that I'll have to like sit them down and tell them something. I think they'll just, from us talking about it, understand more. And then maybe they'll ask me a question that I'll feel that I'll need to really tell them what's happening.
Without hitting them over the head.
Yeah.
It's important that it never be a shock.
Right.
That it was a family secret.
Yeah, no, never. You know, they know that I go and run these meetings. You know, anytime they see anything about cancer, they're like, my mom has that, you know? And I'm happy that they say that. You know, they're proud that I'm trying to raise awareness for this terrible disease. They want to run with me and, you know, it's really a cool feeling.
It sounds like in the family conversation, death isn't a complete stranger.
No.
Do you think about things like quantity versus quality? Do you think about things like medical aid and dying? Is that
yeah.
Something that's too far off for you to consider? Or?
No, it's not. It's a good question. It depends what happens and how I go.
I hope it's a question you don't have to consider for a long, long time, if ever.
Me too. Me too, but you know, I also have to be kind of realistic, you know? I probably will have to face it in the not-so-distant future. Like, you know, I really want to see my kids graduate school. I want to see them get married. I want to meet my grandkids, but I probably won't. And that's just something that I have to be okay with. It took me a long time, but I'm okay with it.
You're inspiring. I just want you to know you're an inspiring woman.
Well, thank you. You are too.
Thank you. I hope we can continue this conversation.
Yes, I hope we can too. Do a story about me in 10 years. That's what I want.
It's a date.
Okay.
That show first aired 5, not 10 years ago. There's a very good reason why we thought it time to check in again with Catherine. She just won Amazing Race Canada with her longtime friend, Craig Ramsey. By the way, Craig was the friend who was instrumental in helping Catherine get diagnosed with brain cancer. Hello.
Hello.
Is that Catherine?
It is.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
It is a delight to hear your voice.
I am so happy to hear yours. I listen to your show all the time.
Catherine Reaford-Ledlow, welcome back to White Coat Black Art.
Amazing. I'm so happy to be here. I missed you, Brian.
I missed you too. And congratulations on your huge win.
Thank you. It still seems crazy that you said we won. Like it still hasn't hit me, I don't think.
In what ways is the Amazing Race a metaphor for your own life?
Well, that's a good question. I want to show people that have a terminal illness, that they can have hope that they can achieve little things like getting up and going for a walk or going on a bike ride or combing their hair. And I just did it in the most spectacular way that anybody could.
How have you been doing since we had you on the show? It's been 5 years. I can't believe it. It feels like yesterday.
It's been 5? Oh my goodness. So that's more than half of the time I've been diagnosed. So I just passed my 9-year mark. I think that my brain has been getting stronger. I think being on the race has made my brain stronger, and trying to figure out all the puzzles and the riddles and the hard physical challenges that we did just made my brain go, okay, you've got this. You need to concentrate on this. And we did it.
And Catherine, you gave me a phrase back then that is still one that I use. You called it scanxiety whenever you get your MRI. Did you still get scanxiety this time?
I did. So I had my MRI on the Friday, and then the finale was on the Tuesday. And I was not stressing over it, but there was so much going on in my mind that I would have like brief moments of scanxiety. And I was like, I can't think about that right now. I can't think about it. So it was a very, very intense week. And then I found out that it was stable. And I had my oncologist, Dr. Pete's, on the cell phone, and we videotaped it, and we all did jazz hands. So,
how old are you now, if I can ask?
I'm 42. Yeah, I love telling people how old I am. I'm 42, loud and proud.
I'm thinking Quinn is like, is she 9?
Yeah, she's 9. Yep.
And Elliot, your eldest is 12?
Uh-huh. Elliot is 12.
On this Thanksgiving weekend, what are some of the things that you feel the most grateful for?
Well, I feel grateful every day. It doesn't need to be Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my amazing friends. I'm grateful that I get the opportunity to be an advocate for people with brain cancer, because there are not a lot of them. A lot of people get affected by the disease so much that they can't be an advocate for themselves. I want to do more motivational speaking about this to raise money for brain cancer research. I want to travel the world and do this as well, so people can understand this is a serious disease and spend more money on finding a cure.
And Catherine, I am grateful every time I get a chance to speak with you. I will speak with you again on White Coat Black Art. And I want to thank you on this Thanksgiving weekend for speaking with us once again.
Thank you very much. In the next 5 years, we'll be doing way more. Maybe we'll find a cure.
That would be wonderful. Bye now.
Bye, Brian.
Living large and staying full of hope are just how Catherine rolls. That she's always thinking of ways to give back inspires us on this Thanksgiving weekend. That's our show this week. White Coat Black Art was produced by Donna Dingwall, with help from producers Jeff Goods, Sujata Berry, and our digital team. Our senior producer is Colleen Ross. That's medicine from my side of the gurney. I'm Brian Goldman. See you next week.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.